Translation. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the super soul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the supreme person, the origin of material nature and of the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. You are the supreme complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 3, the Lord says, Kshetragyam chapimam vidi sarva sheshesu bharata. O sign of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Every one of us is thinking, I am this body, or this is my body. But actually the truth is different. Our bodies are given to us by the Supreme Proprietor, the living entity, who is Kshetragra, or the knower of the body, is not the body's only proprietor. The actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Kshetragya. For example, we may rent or occupy a house, but actually the owner of the house is the landlord. Similarly, we may be allotted a certain type of body as a facility with which to enjoy the material world, but the actual proprietor of the body is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Sarva-yaksha, because everything in the material world works under his supervision. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, when the Lord says, Maya-yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This material nature, working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and non-moving beings. From prakriti, or material nature, come so many varieties of living entities, including aquatics, plants, trees, insects, birds, animals, human beings, and demigods. Prakriti is the mother, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father, aham bija pratapita. Prakriti can give us material bodies, but as spiritual souls, we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entity, being part and parcel of God, is not a product of this material world. Therefore, the Lord is described in this verse as Atma Mula, the origin of everything. He is the seed of all existences, bija mam sarva bhutanam. In Bhagavad Gita 14.4, the Lord says, Sarva yoneshu kuntaya mutaya sambhavantiya. Tasham brahma mahatyone aham bija pradapita. It should be understood that all living entities in all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Plants, trees, insects, aquatics, demigods, birds, beasts, and all other living entities are sons or parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, but because they are struggling with different mentalities, then being given different types of bodies. Manakshastan endriyani prakritishtani karshiti. Thus, they have become sons of prakriti, or material nature, which is impregnated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living entity in this material world is struggling for existence, and the only salvation or relief from the cycle of birth and death in the evolutionary process is full surrender. This is indicated by the words, by the word Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Nam Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschartite Shitarne. Vanchakalpa Tuvista Kripa Sindhabiyavicha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I noticed when I was reading this purport, one of the something struck me in the early on. Srila Prabhupada says, we are thinking, I am this body, or this is my body. I was thinking the second one, this is my body, at least there's a little bit of realization. Right? We sometimes say we can't see the wood for the trees. You know that English expression? When you're so much caught up in something, you can't see what's going on, you know? We notice that when we have problems ourselves, we become very confused. When someone else is having a problem, we just say, oh, what's the problem? Right? Can't you see? It's quite easy to deal with, right? But when, you know, especially when it's in a relationship or something, you know, just sort it out. What's the big problem, right? But when someone's caught up in something and they're attached, it becomes, we become entangled in the problem. We almost become the problem, right? That's why I've said this before, that sometimes we have a difficulty and we start getting mental, start getting worried that we're not a devotee. And often the problem is we just can't do physically or mentally or psychologically, just can't do the service we're given, right? We just haven't got the tools, right? If you're trying to get a, you know, screw out with a spanner, or you're trying to lift up ghee and spoon out ghee with a fork, right? No need to get mental, right? Sometimes the problem's just material. So when once we see that the problem's out there, then we detach from the problem, right? Once you realize that, right? Once you realize that, it's not such a problem. The problem's out here. I can deal with it. Right? But when we get involved with it, you know, I become the problem, it gets very, very difficult. In one sense, we are the problem. And the problem is we aren't separate. We don't identify what the problem is. So, practically speaking, they say, what is it? They say, an Englishman's castle is his home. Right? So sometimes we become so identified with our home, we practically think we are our home. I think it was Napoleon once asked something, and he said, I am Europe. I am Europe. Right? Not only was he trying to conquer Europe, but he considered himself Europe. So we identify with that land, with our place. And a little more advanced here, I noticed that someone's thinking, this is my body. At least there's a little separation. And although Srila Prabhupada doesn't say it here, I was thinking this is, of course, the jnanis. They're just a little bit more advanced. Unfortunately, they also get mixed up. They don't see the distinction. We have to make the distinction. Not just I have a, you know, not just I am the body, I have a body, that's a bit better. But they also don't make another distinction. They think I am the soul. I am the super soul, actually. I am the super soul. That's their problem. And yogis can do this when they see the super soul. They start thinking, I am that super soul. So again, there's a mistake there. That the Mayavadis often use that mantra, tattvamasi. I used to read that before I was a devotee, sometimes in books. Thou art that. Thou art that. You're not this thing here. Good job, huh? Good job. We're not this. We're that. Thou art that. All right? Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned, I was quite surprised actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions that in one place Shankaracharya actually he stressed that over Om, over Pranava. I was quite surprised because we generally think of Mayavadis as really pushing Om, right? You get people into New Age stuff and it's always Om this, Om that, you know. When I go to schools I have pictures of Krishna and I also have an Om sign, right? And I'm very careful not to put the Om above Krishna, right? I really feel uneasy. It kind of looks nice when you put the arm. You're teaching Hinduism, so everyone knows arm. You put it above Krishna on top of the altar. But then I think, no, I don't like that very much. I never want to put arm above Krishna, right? So sometimes we think that the Mayavadis are very much into arm, right? It's the impersonal source of everything. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada actually, he goes the other way. He says they're putting arm down because arm, you know, just see Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness. Om is Krishna. Om is Krishna. He sees Om as Krishna. And he says, they're saying tattvamasi. They're denying Om, which is Krishna. So just see their rascal. I am that. I am that, right? So they think, okay, they've got some idea. I'm not the body, but then they think, I'm the soul. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is like the landlord. I thought it was a good expression because we say Krishna's Lokanath, right? Lord of the lands, right? So he's Lord of the lands, he's the landlord. I don't know if he's a Hindu landlord, but anyway. But he's the landlord of everything. So our job is not to go into someone's house and enjoy their house. If we're staying as a guest in someone's house and then we start going to the kitchen and, you know, who's been sleeping in my bed, right? We do a Goldilocks, right? The guest, the proprietor might be a little upset. They might give us a little bit, but it's not, we're guests here. Not our job to enjoy. At the same time, it's also not our job to go into that house and then say, you know, misuse it or even destroy it. Sometimes in the name of spiritual life, we do austerities. We've all probably been guilty of that, trying to destroy our body in the name of devotional service, right? So that's also not good. You know, you say, okay, now I'm not the enjoyer, now I'm going to destroy the house. So the landlord's still not going to be very happy, because Srila Prabhupada gives that wonderful example also of I don't have experience of this lifetime, but if the mother has a child, and the child then once says, Mum, I want to go back into your womb. You know, things are really bad. Can I go back in your womb? I mean, is she going to be very pleased? You know, I'm trying to have a loving relationship, and you want to merge with me again, right? Things are bad here, right? Things are bad, Mum, right? So similarly, we say, Krishna, things are bad here. I want to merge with you. Krishna's not very happy. He wants a relationship with us. Similarly, if we destroy that house, the landlord is not going to be very happy. So that's the difference between us and the soul. Actually, I had an interesting exchange with some students. I think it was, two days ago? And there was one Indian girl there, Hindu girl, and must have been about, I think she was year six, 11 years old. And I was trying to explain one of the things we do, because we get accused of preaching Hinduism, blah, blah, blah. But one of the first things we say is, I think I sometimes ask for questions, even at the beginning, because I have lesson plans, I know what I'm going to say, but sometimes I just like to open it up. And we had one school which was, they were only year six, I think they were. That was that same school. They were about 11 years old, and they were asking questions better than many university students. It's amazing sometimes the amount of, you know, kind of questions you get. One girl was actually saying something like, "Oh, how can you remember? You know, all, if God reincarnates so many times, how can you remember?" So I was very careful to say we don't use that word reincarnate for God, right? So I was explaining, and then of course the main misconception, of course, is that there's many gods. Hindus believe in many gods, so that's one thing we try and cut straight away. Of course, we don't say, no, that's wrong. We say, some say that. Some say that. We don't disagree with the Mayavadis. We don't disagree totally. We say they're right up to a point. Right? Up to a point they're right. So we can say, yes, we don't cut too fanatically. We say, yes, some Hindus say that. But many will be offended, because many believe there's one God and there's many demigods. And then we explain it to them. And one girl, she just kept saying, and we give the example, of course, you've got one teacher and you've got a staff, right? So there's both. We're not disagreeing with the mind. There is many gods. They're called demigods. There's many of them. And there's one God. We've got both. We've got the best of both worlds, right? We're Mayavadis. We're the best Mayavadis, right? We say everything's equal. And we also have Krishna, and we have pastimes, and we have prasadam as well. Right? You know, we have everything. You know, God's complete Purnam. So this girl just couldn't get it, and she kept saying to me, but what difference does it make who you worship? And I kept trying to explain. I said, well, it's like a teacher, or it's like, you know, it's like a government. You've got the president and all the cabinet, or the prime minister and the cabinet. She just couldn't get it. And then because when someone can't understand, one has to be patient and keep trying. And then I understood. She said, yes, but you're saying there's many gods and goddesses. So they're all called the same thing, so it doesn't matter. And I realized she was simply thinking that because they're called gods and goddesses, right, they're all the same, because they've got, well, you call that one a goddess, you call that one a goddess. Etymological word jugglery, right? But she was really caught up in it. And so I said, well, you're all pupils, right? But you're you, and I'm me, and you're you, and you're you, right? But somehow or other, you know, it's just like saying, I'm me, you know, who are you? Me. Who are you? Me. Therefore, you must be equal. It's insanity, isn't it? If you're, I'm me, and I'm me, and therefore you're equal. Huh? Simply word jugglery. It's foolish. Completely foolish. So I'm spirit, God's spirit. Okay, I'm God. It's that foolish. Basically that foolish. But of course, Maya's very, very powerful. I think she understood in the end. Anyway, she took Prashad instead of fasting. Prabhupada said, he gives the other example. People say they're Jagat Guru, and they haven't even been outside their village in India. I'm Jagat Guru, you know, Guru of the universe. You haven't been outside your village, mate. And of course, there is an injunction that, you know, one shouldn't leave the Holy Land, but, you know, we know Vaishnav means get out there. Get out. Preach to everyone. So, of course, this is talking somewhat about Paramatma, not only about Paramatma, but Srila Prabhupada gives that example that Paramatma is a temporary manifestation of Krishna. I've mentioned this before. When I first read that, I was shocked. How can Krishna be temporary? No, Krishna's eternal, but it's not difficult for him to have a temporary thing. If you're a rich man, you can be. If you're a rich man with, you know, $10 billion, you can just be an average guy as well. If you're upper class, you can be middle class, you can be low class, right? You can be everything, right? Krishna includes everything. So he can have a temporary manifestation. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, something like a fair in India, Kumbh Mela or something. They appoint someone, especially to look after the fair. They get some government official, you're going to be doing this for 6 months, right? We do it in the temple sometimes, something special going on. Someone will have a position just to look after something for a while. It's a temporary position. That's all. And Srila Prabhupada also gives that example of like a king. I explain this to the students as well. When a king goes to, king in the old days when you had a king who was in charge of the prisons, he'd go to the prison, right? And what does the guy in the prison say? Hello, Gov. How you doing, mate? What are you in for then? What did they get you for? All right? Right? The guy's in prison actually thinks that the king's done something wrong, you know what I mean? But of course, the king's got all the keys. He can go in, go out. That's why I explained that. When this girl said, you know, how can God reincarnate? He doesn't. We're forced. He can just go in and out. But foolishness, we see that king. You know, we actually think like that. We think people, you know, are not so great as they are. God doesn't do porridge. All right? So, we're the ones that do it. Interesting enough, he says here, Krishna says, I'm the supervisor. Well, super means above, visor, seer. So we say overseer, same word, right? Super, visor, to see, overseer. He's the one that sees everything. I was just thinking, actually it makes us very sane, doesn't it? When we just think Krishna's watching everything, right? Nothing you can get away with, right? Nothing you can get away with, right? Trying to be a big devotee doesn't fool Krishna. Who am I trying to be? You're following Krishna, right? So I've noticed that. So I was noticing everywhere you go now, there's these CCTV cameras. I mean, it was there when I first joined the movement because we used to have to dodge out the way when we went to shopping centres, right? That was the first CCTV cameras you had. I remember in the Arndale shopping in Liverpool, we used to try and sneak so the police wouldn't see us when we were distributing books. But since then, everywhere is under CCTV cameras. Even here we have them. But they don't work very well, right? Someone nicked something and Vaikuntha was looking through and we missed that frame and it doesn't work. But Krishna does it perfectly. So see how we're trying to imitate Krishna. We want to just keep track of everything, right? I went on Bing the other day instead of Google. You know, I thought I'll try a different thing. And I actually saw outside my house and I saw my wife's old van, which she sold about, right? A year ago, right? So there's your fan that you sold, right? It's amazing what you can see and do on the internet, but it's because it's out of date, right? It's out of date. So, but Krishna's CCT is perfect. And that's that's the trouble. We're so much trying to control. Krishna has eyes everywhere. We're trying to have eyes everywhere so we can control. And is the world getting a better place? Is it getting a better place? No. If you listen to the news, it's mad on control. It's insane. The amount of control we're trying to do. Something goes wrong and we spend millions of pounds on inquiry. Let's find out what went wrong, right? You know, sometimes in life there's a time to look at things and work out what went wrong, but there's times to let go as well. Times to let go. Now they want governments to say sorry for things they did hundreds of years ago. We've got to say sorry for this war. Someone's got to say sorry for this war. Okay, there's something to be said, but we'll do the same thing again. What's the use of saying sorry if we do the same thing again, right? Have we got anything to stop us doing? Are we going to stop wars? Are we going to stop doing those things? Shishi Radhigo Kulanandaki. I don't know if you know the news. Belfast is going up again. I mean, I was in Belfast in the temple there 20 years ago, and you know, now they're still throwing petrol bombs at everyone, and just because of a flag. You heard that? They decided they weren't going to fly the Unionist flag, and now people are complaining over a flag. All right? That's the real flag, Seeker. All right? Everyone's wearing that flag. We don't have to complain about that. But, so Srila Prabhupada says that's our symptom of our nescience, is we don't realize that super soul, he's guiding us, he's giving us any ability we have. We say that to the children when we're teaching, we say, you're gifted. Someone's good at football. You're gifted. Who gave you the gift? Who gave you the gift? I say to the kids, does anyone like anyone that's big-headed? do we actually like anyone who's proud, right? No, we know. We like someone who's, you know, I'm good, but people appreciate that, even materialists. So that's the problem. It's without knowing that super soul, everything's a struggle. Whether we're struggling materially or we're struggling spiritually and we still think, I am the super, that's a big struggle, isn't it? I'm God. Try and keep that one up, right? That's a big struggle. I was actually thinking when I was... Everything can be used in Krishna service. So even my memories before I joined the movement can be used in Krishna service. I remember we used to go to a pub called the Struggling Monkey. What a name for a pub, a Struggling Monkey. I don't know where that one came from. But I was thinking, that's what we're like in this world. We're struggling monkeys, right? Prabhupada says monkeys going from tree to tree. You know, they look, even the Mayavadis, right? They're struggling, they're monkeys, right? Because they're pretending to be renounced often, but, you know, engaging in sex and things like that, right? So struggling monkey, what a struggle. And struggle to pay the rent. Prabhupada says, landlord, we're all struggling. You know, most of my wages goes to my rent, right? It's expensive. We're all struggling. Struggling like anything. Actually struggle. I was just imagining, sometimes when you're a little kid, you have a tiff with your mum or something, you're really upset, and struggle means you're thrashing and things like that. And mum says, you know, just calm down. And if you're really lucky, you'll end up having a big embrace, right? Just calm down, it's all right, you know. That's what we're doing. We're struggling with Krishna all the time. He's saying, calm down, it's all right. No. So we're all struggling monkeys. I was actually thinking there was another pub I used to go to called the Royal Oak, and it was the original Royal Oak. You know, there was Charles II. He was being chased, and he actually had to hide up a tree. Otherwise, they would have, right? Everyone's struggling. Everyone's struggling. Royalty's struggling. Right? Crazy world. So a big struggle. And Srila Prabhupada says the only way is to surrender like Gajendra. Just give a lotus to Krishna. I think crocodiles are pretty strong, aren't they? I think I read somewhere that even your jaw is very, very strong. So I think it's the strongest. I mean, it puts tons of pressure, actually. Right? Tons of pressure on your jaw. I know pigs, you know, I remember my mother, she used to work on a farm, and she said once she got one pig and she got a big broom and it attacked her, and it just got hold of the broom handle and went crunch and just crunched it. Right? Jaws are amazingly strong, right? So we're all, I saw one film once about zebras going across a river in India. It was the original zebra crossing. No, there were these zebras going across this river, and these crocodiles were trying to get them. Horrific, you know, horrific when they get them. They often manage to kick them away. They're very, very powerful. So what a struggle. And we're trying to be free, of course. It's natural to be free. Srila Prabhupada says we want to feel the free light. You know, everyone wants freedom. And just another example of how foolish we are to struggle is we're actually, I remember when I was a kid, I was studying about science when I was a little kid, and the whole development of science, how it developed. I was really into it from 5 years old. And then I remember I started learning about jet engines and steam engines and jet engines, and then it came to nuclear power, really making progress. Right? So, one of the first jets was made up at Hatfield, de Havilland. They had the first jet. I've still got people, friends at work, used to work up there. And there's a pub, pub's on my mind today. There's a pub called The Comet there, right? So The Comet was the first aircraft. But I just saw on YouTube this amazing video about how when they first have air travel, one of these comets just, or two of them crashed, and one was in India. So they said, well, it's just India. But then that one crashed sort of coming out over Italy. And the amount of work they went to just to get aviation, just to get jet planes working. This one just blew up, people killed, and they were all members of the jet set, right? And they had horrible injuries. And to actually find out what went wrong, they actually built, just probably up in Hatfield, they just built another jet, simulated on the ground, and they put it in water, and it was a huge endeavor. And they found out the cause of the crash was just a little, where there was a rivet. You know, when you join metal, you put a rivet through. It's just a little bit of metal, it's a little bit like a nail, but and it holds it together. And there's a little crack. And because when you've got an airplane, you're high up there, you've got to have air, you've got to pump air into it, right? And what happened is a little crack, gradually with all the movement, it just makes a weak little crack along the aluminium, and eventually the plane just explodes. And they did so much work, and now they've overcome it. Now we can do it, now we can have air travel, right? But how much pain and suffering, how much death and pain just to get to that point. And still we think now we've made progress. But actually, it'll happen again. You know, all it means is we've learned what the laws are and we've learned how to wangle around them. And it's getting more and more complex. Right? The whole of technology is like that. You've got to get everything right. If you've got your computer, you just one little thing, the whole thing goes wrong. One little plane, you can even take one screw out and the whole thing won't fly. And unless you get conditions right, and then you get one volcano goes up and no one can fly anymore. Right? So that's the trick. We're struggling and we think we're getting somewhere. Oh, no, I'm getting somewhere. But actually, any moment it can be taken away. Because all we're doing is trying to wangle around the laws and we just don't want to surrender. Struggle, and it looks, we think we're not struggling. You know, it looks very, just like, you know, you're going along, you know, going, those guys that had the crash out there, 140 miles an hour in a couple of BMWs, right? You're driving along in a BMW, 140, it feels very smooth. Wham, it's not so smooth. So the modern society is like that. Going along, looks so smooth, wham, it'll hit, right? Gajendra's enjoying, and the crocodile gets him. So we're always struggling to overcome these, but we have to. After Prabhupada says the only solution is to let go. Letting go is very difficult sometimes. You know? I'm struggling to let go, right? Letting go is very, very difficult. Of course, it's difficult because we have to know what to let go of. Sometimes we let go of things we shouldn't let go of. Responsibility, right? Responsibility should never be let go of, right? Being honest, never let go of that, right? But if we're trying to control something we can't control, that's foolishness. We just have to give up that struggle. In fact, in one sense, I was saying, someone was saying to me the other day, you know, we can never give up anxiety in this world. All we have to do is try and, you know, push it towards Krishna consciousness. We have a struggle to preach. Prabhupada actually says quite clearly, he says, those that worship the deity, not against deity worship. Prabhupada also speaks against the Mayavadis and others who criticize deity. We're not against deity worship. He says those that are worshipping the deity, but they don't realize the Paramatma, right, in every person. He says recognize the devotees, but he also says Paramatma in everybody, devotee or not. He says it's a waste of time. Uselessly wasting their time. We're coming here, Krishna's in everyone's heart guiding them. Therefore we give respects to everyone we meet. Because that's a temple of the Lord. And even though we might not be advanced in Krishna consciousness, somehow we try and preach, then Krishna assures us he'll help. Again, the worst thing is this idea that we're making progress. That's the worst thing. So, you know, pretending we're civilized when we're not. Pretending we can overcome problems when we're not. Telling people we can overcome when we can't. Wouldn't be so bad if just governments and people said, oh, it's a struggle, you know. But they say, no, we can do it. 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 We're going to just do this, just do that. Therefore, we have to preach vigorously against this. We think the Wright brothers, remember the Wright brothers first flew, right? We thought, yeah, this is progress, right? No. All we can do is, like monkeys, go on aeroplanes from country to country. Why not? If you want sense gratification, have it here. Why do you have to go all the way around the world? Even for sense gratification. All right, so our struggle is to preach, and as much as we can. Look after the body as well. That's a danger. I know sometimes I don't look after the body. It's not my body. It's Krishna's body. We cannot destroy the house. It's the landlord's house. We have to look after our body, keep ourselves healthy, and try and do what we can to help. Any questions, please?